My guest at this time is Heather MacDonald. She is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and the author of the best-selling The War on Cops, How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. We've asked her to discuss the curious trend of police standing down when tensions among demonstrators start rising. It happened earlier this year in Berkeley when protesters forced the cancellation of the Milo Yiannopoulos speech. All sides in Charlottesville blame the police for not doing more to calm that powder keg. And now it's happened again with Antifa at Berkeley, as several people were assaulted by a violent mob. And Heather, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you for having me on.
Well, let's start with, the Washington Post, for example, in their headline says black-clad Antifa protesters assault peaceful right-wing protesters. That's not usually the way that the headlines go in the Washington Post. So it's pretty clear what happened here. There was an anti-Marxism rally that was scheduled. It was canceled due to the threat of violence, which appears quite prescient at this point. A few people, some who apparently indicated support for President Trump, still came. And the mob effectively descended on them, with the police virtually doing nothing, pretty much standing by and leaving it up to actually people who were aligned with Antifa to protect the bodies of people who were being beaten. So why does this keep happening?
Well, in Berkeley, you can see the roots of this in a Black Lives Matter riot in 2014 in December that lasted about 4 days. And the first day of the anti-police Black Lives Matter riot, the police actually used conventional riot tactics of skirmish lines, not allowing protesters to get dangerously close. And the left-wing Berkeley council and mayor the next day blamed the police for the violence rather than the people who were using Molotov cocktails and attacking businesses and police officers and other people. And the Berkeley police learned their lesson and said, okay, our policy is going to be to allow certainly the destruction of property, and if there's collateral damage to people, so be it. We are not going to risk again the claim that we are a occupying fascist force. So you have an extremely passive stance on the part of police, and this is something that is happening nationally because the police have been so demonized by the Black Lives Matter movement. They're so worried about a lawful act of force being captured on video and the inevitable press reaction that it was the police's fault that they are simply have moved into a hunkered down passive position that, given our current levels of civil hatred in this country, I think is extremely dangerous.
Well, it certainly seems quite dangerous. So it sounds from what you're saying, Heather, that the police are taking this posture even when they're not necessarily the issue behind the protest, like it would be with Black Lives Matter or what happened in Baltimore with Freddie Gray and allegedly how he was treated by police. They were all acquitted, of course. But in terms of any unrest now, it seems like they're taking this posture.
Well, the cell phones are always there. And the willingness of the media to seize upon cell phone video that does not show the full course of an interaction. And police use of force is never a pretty sight. But there are times when it's whether you're subduing a resisting suspect or trying to keep order in a public anarchy situation like we had again this weekend where it is necessary. But, cops are just, they are very fearful now of becoming the story themselves.
So you're basically saying they can't win. If they do maintain law and order, they get accused of brutality or worse. And if they stand back because of being concerned about being accused of those things, they end up getting blamed for the mayhem that ensues.
Well, that's absolutely right. And, I would say, frankly, properly blamed. If the left starts blaming them for not maintaining order, that's maybe a good thing, and maybe the left will start waking up. I kind of doubt it, but the police on the, you know, I'm sympathetic to them because policing is political, and it's really up to the public to decide how much policing it wants. And if the public decides we'd rather have crime, we'd rather have anarchy than have police use their lawful authority, well, that's their decision to make. And so I'm sympathetic to cops backing off, but I hope that we're not at that point yet and that they will realize that they really owe it to the law-abiding people of this country to maintain order.
Two big picture questions as we exit here, Heather. First of all, if we continue down this road, what are we going to see?
I fear real civil violence, whether it's race war or left-right war. Both sides at the extremes are becoming more emboldened. So far, I mean, the what appears to be the murder at Charlottesville is just beyond the pale. I mean, that's sort of a game changer. On the other hand, it has to be said that as far as sheer number of incidents, at this point, the Antifa violent anarchists, fascists on the left, exceed anything that the far right has done in numbers. As far as quality, you know, a murder of somebody is extremely serious. But the left certainly has the bit in its teeth at this point. And I think that I hope Trump still has the moral authority to say this is simply not acceptable. He ran rightly as a law and order president. He alone among the candidates saw what was going on with the demonization of the police, with the rising crime levels, with the resistance to cops, with the 53% increase in gun murders of officers last year. He said this has got to stop. And I think he needs to stand up for order now. I just hope, as I say, that he has the moral authority to do so.
How do we begin to turn it around? You mentioned before Trump's moral authority. You also mentioned that people with their votes and other messages can kind of dictate what type of policing they want in their communities. But in terms of getting back to what I think most Americans probably expect from law enforcement, whether it's political figures, police officials, how does that transition begin and get executed?
Yeah, Greg, I mean, that's just the most important question, and it's thought leaders that have to do that, but it's, you know, these are very long-term trends, and you have this, the long shadow of the 1960s where the country's elites felt like it now was the thing to do to be anti-establishment, anti-police. The media has just been soaked, it's been saturated in anti-cop hostility for the last 20 years, but it has certainly gotten much worse with the Black Lives Matter surge that began in August of 2014 with the Michael Brown shooting. And so it's a very hard haul because the country's opinion leaders in the media, the mainstream left-wing media, are still committed to the anti-cop narrative. I think I'll tell you one thing that might change. At this point, the overwhelming victims in the rising crime increase are black. 900 more black males were killed in 2015 thanks to the Black Lives Matter depolicing than the previous year. Even though the media thinks of itself as so social justice warrior-like, it actually doesn't give a damn about black lives unless they're taken by a cop. If this crime increase continues and you start to have white kids being killed in the streets, that's what's going to change it. You know, as I say, the New York Times thinks of itself as so open-minded, but it turns its back on the routine daily killings that are going on in inner-city areas. But the crime in many areas like Chicago now is spreading into white areas. And if that happens, you're going to see everybody call for more law and order, and rightly so.
A lot to keep track of. Heather, thank you so much for your time today and your insights.
Thank you, Greg.
Heather McDonald is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and the author of the best-selling The War on Cops, How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.